Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of Titus chapter 1, we were talking about when Satan deceived Eve, he was corrupting the Word of God. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
It was a form of what you and I would call Calvinism today. But it was by Augustine. He wrote many things about it, and he used some scriptures and so forth to apply it that way. Years later, when John Calvin broke from the Catholic Church and did his writings and so forth, we find out that by his own admission, this is not an accusation, this is by his admission, that a lot of the stuff that he has that makes up Calvinism, he got it from Augustine. So when you take Augustine, Catholic, and then him, this Presbyterian, but the seed of that religion, in a way, it comes from Greek mythology. Now, that's not even totally true, because it goes back further than that. It goes back to the garden in Genesis chapter 3, in which Satan says, "Hath God said?" He was critical of the text, you might say, although it wasn't written at the time, but he was critical of the text. "The day ye eat thereof, you shall surely die." Satan said, "Oh, you won't die. Come on. God just doesn't want you to be equal with him to know the difference between good and of evil. And see, if you do, then you're on level. This exalts you, and that food is good to eat. Look at that fruit. Boy, does it look delicious and good to eat." And so Eve was deceived, and she ate. Adam later comes along, and she says, "Hey, this fruit's good and all that. Look, I didn't die. I ate of it. I didn't die." And so she gets Adam to eat. Now, Adam knows it's wrong. Adam knows the sin. He's not deceived. But I think he actually believes God will kill his wife physically. And maybe he doesn't want another rib taken out to make another woman, you know? I don't know. But I'm just saying is that he went along with it knowingly. That's why in the New Testament we read he wasn't deceived, it was Eve. But Adam's sin was presumptuous. But in looking at that, Satan had really deceived, but also corrupted the Word of God, had questioned. His was like a spoken critical text of God. Now, he said, "You won't surely die," and they did die. Do you know Adam and Eve actually died that day? He said, no, you're wrong, preacher. Adam lived over 900 years. Eve had children after that. So how come she died that day? Well, see, death doesn't mean ceasing to exist. It's never meant that. Now, that's the idea that we get a lot of times. We bury a loved one, and we think, "I'll never see them again." But no, if they're saved and you're saved, you'll see them again. But you see, God is a spirit. We were made in the image of God. And so we have a spirit. You're not a body with a soul and a spirit. You're a spirit that has a soul and body. And so because of that, that spirit was in God's image. Now, sin separated us from God. Therefore, man needed a savior. Someone who would take the almighty wrath of God poured out upon his human spirit until he would die, having paid it in full, having finished the work. Then he goes down and he takes the captivity captive. He preaches to those that were in hell, that failed God, and he preaches to them. And as a result of preaching to them, they see that many are left there, but they know they're there justly in hell in the lake of fire. Those who were converted are taken up into the third heaven. But I've said all of that just to get this point. Critical thinking is not a new thing. A lot of, you know, there are Christian colleges and universities that actually use the philosophy of critical thinking. For an example, Darwin, Marx, they were critical thinking advocates. That's where you get Marxism or socialism or communism is from Marx. Charles Darwin, he was a product of critical thinking, although he had some godly heritage he came from. And as a result of that, we got the theory of evolution, which is a correct terminology. It's only a theory. It's not truth. And it's a theory that'll never be proven because it never happened that way. And then later in the 1800s, there's a man, he was really, some of them call him the father of humanism, but his name was Thomas Dewey. By the 1930s, Dewey's had a very strong impact on public education here in our country, but really he wrote about critical thinking back in the 1800s, but didn't catch on till the 1900s. Now, it hit public schools. I remember I was in elementary school in the 1950s, and then, of course, 60s, the secondary and high school, through 67, and then graduated. But, you know, there were still teachers in that day. And, of course, up until the mid-60s, they still prayed and read the Bible in school, public school. That's right. But there are some that were starting to bend other ways, and there are others, man, they were just true to the morals, ethics. It's just like the Constitution of the United States. Constitution is not a living document. Those who tell you that are actually giving you educated lies. Okay. That the Constitution is a living document and it must change with the culture. It must change with the day in which we live. That is a lie out of hell. There's too much writings of the original people. Now, were all the original people that did the Constitution saved, those that signed it and so forth? I don't know. I mean, I don't know their heart. So how can I say they're all saved? But they did, I can say this, they used a Judeo-Christian ethic. You say, what is that? Out of the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, basically what it comes down to, that the ethics, the morals, those things of that nature, the principles, all come from the Word of God. Those are principles, those are morals, those are ethics that are true in every generation. They don't change with the culture. The culture is evil. It grows more evil. So it doesn't change. That. It's not a living document. It's a document of pure ethics, pure morals, on down the line. You see, the reason I'm saying that is that man is trying to change it today. Man is trying to change those things today. That's critical thinking. That's where critical thinking is born. It is a shame. And I call it a sinful shame when you have somebody calls himself a fundamental Christian college or a fundamental Christian university or a fundamental Christian anything, and they based education on critical thinking. That is a terrible, terrible foundation to build children's lives. Humanism, for example. I remember teaching on humanism in a church when I was in the state of Arizona. And I told one of the things about humanism and education. I said, you know, if humanism teaches you this, they teach the children to really be critical of how their parents do. For an example, the question gets asked, it might be in a middle school, it might be in a high school. What kind of problems have you had at home that maybe caused a problem with your parent? And what did you do? And what did your parents say? And what did your parents do? Is that what your parents should have done? What should they have done? You see, it automatically assumes the parent is wrong. The child is right because children never lie. That's the biggest lie out of hell yet. We have a Christian school and it's not unusual to have parents say, I know my child. My child doesn't lie. Or I can tell when my child's lying. And I don't want to laugh in their face, so I don't. But that is the biggest hunk of baloney I've ever heard. We've gotten kids doing things wrong on camera, and the parents still had a hard time believing it. So what can I say? It's just like the lady one time that was told I'd said something in a sermon, and so she was upset and all that, and I found out about it. Of course, I didn't say that, and whoever told you that line. And so we went on about that for a few minutes. She says, "No, I believe my friends." Well, I says, "Let me tell you something. Our sermons are recorded. They're not altered in any way. So you can go online and you can listen to the sermon." I didn't say that. She says, "I don't care what the recording says. I believe my friends." Well, if you can't believe what actually happened and there's actual proof of it, and then you say something that ignorant. You see, that's where sin is born. It's born in ignorance. It's born in foolishness, and that's where it comes out. And so I just had to laugh about that. And it's hard when you're talking to somebody on telephone and they say something like that. It's hard not to bust out laughing. But I ended that conversation, so I didn't bust out laughing before we said goodbye, you know. So it was just funny. But now I'm just saying all that. I got on biblical translations and all that, but I was doing this about critical thinking because parents, you need to be careful about putting your kids in public education, because this is what they're facing. Go to a Christian college. You're going to send them to a Christian college. There's a couple questions asked. First of all, do you go by critical thinking or do you go by truth? You know, they call truth memorization. In our school, Christian school, we use the Becker curriculum. It does involve a lot of memorization. For example, you memorize math tables, multiplication tables, things of that nature. You memorize those things of mathematics. There's scriptures that you memorize. And, you know, doesn't the Bible say, "I have hid God's word in my heart that I might not sin against thee"? What good if you use critical thinking's attitude against memorizing true concept? What good is memorizing scripture? I mean, really, if that's not going to be a help, they need to be critical thinkers. Then memorizing scripture means that you'll say, "Well, no, was God really right in that?" So don't even look. You memorize scriptures, and the Holy Spirit has something to work with because He breathed out every word. So when you have that memorized, it helps you. But now, in the same manner, you memorize concepts of English and all that. Today you have history being changed in schools and all this other, these other things. Well, if you memorize what history is and dates and things like that, you know those are lies. Now for me in my case, I got to say my children, grandchildren, my great grandchildren, my children have been through college and other things, you know, that have been there. I mean, they've got children of their own and some of them have grandchildren.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.